Lives of Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is... Baked Alaska.
Baked Alaska.
Yep.
That's, I get it, because it's a drugs reference. Oh, and I, listeners, Matthew Turner of the Lives of Pitch podcast, am au fait with all your cool, hip drug references.
I have no idea what Baked Alaska is, that's why I wrote. I just like...
Oh, it's a dessert. I know that much. I
think it's ice cream that you blowtorch.
Yeah, it's
blow
ice cream
torch.
And meringue, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and you blowtorch the outside of it a bit.
Okay, so it's ice cream and meringue, right? Yeah. But it's filled with weed.
Yeah.
And this entire movie...
We'll get to
your weed meringue.
We'll get to the weed meringue.
No.
But here...
I just want it sitting on the table. Everything is happening around. Okay.
So, cool. Joining us for our drugs episode is Vicky Ellerlees and Joe Thompson.
Hello.
From the strike people.
From the strike people, you know. Strike. The strike people.
We take
strike
people down.
Strike. The strike people. We do strike. Which corporate slogan would you go with?
I would go with just do it.
Just do it? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
No context. Just every time strike finishes a show, we just look one person in the eye and go, just do it.
Yeah, we've had a few people throw themselves out of windows.
So anyway, do you want to get on with some honourable mentions?
If you like.
Baked Alaska, by the way, given to us by Ross Originals.
Oh, thanks, Ross underscore Originals.
Thanks, Ross underscore Originals, for that.
Swell dude.
Baked Alaska. So yeah, honourable mentions from Alex Not Safe Work Keen. We've got Waste Man.
Waste Man. I kind of want this to be like a dustman, like, you know.
Yeah,
sort of,
that was my first thought.
Kind of like, but
that was not my first.
He's a refuse collector.
Yes,
and he just happens to serve like a road where there's a grow house.
Okay.
So like it's gang run, and it's just like they're throwing away the ends, but there's some kind of like he's picking up stuff and managing to like sell it on the side or something.
From all the thrown away weed.
Yeah.
From like the stuff off-cuts, right?
What should we do with the excess weed in our house?
Put just it in the regular it. Waste.
Yeah, I like that as a concept though, because that was also where my brain first went. Is he's a rubbish dude. Dustbin man?
Rubbish. No, you know what? Jobs get upsold all the time. You go from like kitchen, you know, you go from like toilet cleaner to sort of like bathroom sanitizer to like a hygiene specialist, right?
So and then rubbish dude.
Yeah. And then you got bin man, dustman, waste disposal expert, and then rubbish bin dude.
Rubbish dude.
Okay. So the rubbish dude, though, I like the idea more that he's going through the bins, like he's looking for the drugs, and one day he finds the drugs.
Okay.
And that is somehow a turning point for him.
Oh, he's got a family at home, and his son is having trouble with drugs. And then he
can't find them.
Nobody knows where this supply is coming from until Waste Man,
played by Brian Blessed.
I appear to have found some cannabis offcuts hiding in this dustbin.
Look at these drugs I found.
Drugs! I'll get you drugs! Hooray!
Oh, no.
I have found a large bag of drugs!
So
he shouts outside the police station.
Yeah, do you reckon this would be like one of those like someone's got a big bag of like a huge bag of drugs? Because I always thought about this when I had far too much time on my hands.
Yeah.
I'm like walking and I don't have any music or whatever.
Yeah.
What if just on the side of the road, like behind a wall, or whatever, you just found a huge bag of coke, right?
Yeah.
What would you do?
Is this like...
I'm going to go with call the fucking police.
Because, like, that's... No, but that, you got to think, that could be, like, £50,000.
Because if you... Okay, yeah, no, you're right, sell it.
This is the drug version of the film Millions.
That's what I'm thinking.
Waste Man. That's the tagline, the drug version of the film Millions.
I'm thinking Waste Man, Brian Blessed, is about to get evicted from his house because he can't pay rent on the meager earnings he's got, finds a ridiculous amount of coke, like, that's being made in, I don't know, some... Yeah, let's call it meth, because we know there's a well-documented process that you can make that in a house. I don't know how you make coke.
Oh, I think I saw something on Facebook about making coke.
Okay.
Recently, because
make coke? Because you've made a lot of references to it, being like, "Oh, I know someone."
I know a guy who knows a guy.
No, because it was Gordon Ramsay
making went on coke.
It's like a whole thing where he's adventuring around finding out about coke.
Is it called cooking with Gordon Ramsay?
It's cooking something like Ramsay. That. It genuinely is a real thing, though, I swear. You can look it up.
So I would suggest that we have this big setup of Batsy evicted, looking for all this money. Brian Blessed is trying to look for his money.
I feel like the son was important, though. Like, you need that family dynamic to really invest yourself.
Son has a drug problem and has got himself in a lot of debt with some drug dealers, need to be paid off.
Yeah, it's good.
He finds this big bag of coke, we know exactly where it's going to go, and then he just takes it all.
He takes it so the drug dealer, like the son's main drug dealer, now doesn't have his, because he's had to, like, the drug dealer, played by Daniel Radcliffe, has stored, he's in a tight white
pimp suit,
he's like got a leather jacket,
tank top leather jacket,
smoking. Damn. He's like, oh yeah, come on, I got some cool drugs for you, kid.
He's straight out of the road.
And so 50s beat Radcliffe is the police come along, he's got this big bag of drugs, he's like, la 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 la, I got this cool bag of drugs, and then
I'm on my way to a party, pop pop.
Yep, hey, come on,
let's go.
And then the police come along, and then he's like, oh, better quickly hide this behind a wall and run. And then he does that, and then along comes the bin lorry with Brian Blessed in it. He finds it anyway. Daniel Radcliffe no longer has £50,000 worth of drugs.
And he wants revenge.
And now he's coming down even harder on Brian Blessed's son, played by...
Haley Joel Osment. I thought that a few minutes ago.
Adult Haley Joel Osment.
Well, I mean...
Small face, big head.
To be
Joel
fair,
Osment.
They're about right age. Like, in terms of... Brian Blessed said Haley Joel Osment sort of like.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I wonder who is older. That's how close they are in.
What, Brian Blessed and Haley Joel Osment?
Oh, no. I was talking about Daniel Radcliffe and Haley Joel Osment.
I was gonna say,
they're both child actors about the same time.
Yeah. So we'll make them pretend to be teens.
Standard.
Yeah. As standard. We call it the OC effect. So Beat Radcliffe's coming down hard on the son.
Says that. He's like, I'm coming down hard on you, Haley Joel Osment.
I'm Harry Ruddy Potter. Look at me.
Scoobity beep.
That's my drug name.
Quick ending for this film and then we'll move on.
Brian Blessed just murders Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah.
He's so high on cocaine.
I guess
I'm going to eat you.
I guess there's a side plot of Brian Blessed trying to sell this to other drug dealers.
Yeah.
And it all comes to a head, like a gang war surrounding Brian Blessed's house. and then eventually, like, Daniel Radcliffe breaks in as all the other drug dealers are arrested around them, and Daniel Radcliffe's like bloody from being shot by another drug dealer, and then Brian Blessed goes, I'm just going to have to eat you and then eat Daniel Radcliffe to stop him from...
That's not how I wanted this film to end.
But in the eating, he reconciles with his son.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then, chewing on this guy.
Crunch.
He's like,
crunch.
No, the police are at the door and there's a leg left and I'm just so full. And then his son comes through the door and says, like, I'll help Dad. And starts finishing off the rest.
Leg.
The rest of the leg.
I'm eating Harry Ruddy Potter.
Yes. And then he said, he's like, oh boy, Dad, that was pretty tough, huh? I can't believe we ate a guy. And then Bram Blessed says, yes, but at least there's no waste, man.
How I wanted that to end was exactly that. But the police see him and chase him through New York, and that's when Brian Blessed, high on cocaine, climbs the Empire State Building.
Oh.
And is shot down by biplanes.
I think that can still happen.
Yeah, the end of credits scene.
With his son, they run, and then the son has to watch as his dad that he's just come to terms with loving falls to his death.
His face white with cocaine.
There's the alternate cut when they thought they might be about to go, the production might have fallen through halfway through filming, and there was an edit they made hastily to go to the cinema, to go to the final cut, that they were like, we're not going to be able to do another day of filming. Actually, what happens is Bram Blessed takes all of the cocaine, and then the rest of the film is Flash Gordon.
With Brian Blessed playing all of the parts, including the soundtrack.
It's just the original Flash Gordon. It's just...
Dun, 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 dun.
His voice gets...
Flash!
His voice starts at, like, peak Brian Blessed volume and then gets louder.
In the mix.
But yeah, no, you get shut down.
To the point where is that THX? But it just
keeps getting louder and louder. It doesn't stop.
And it's just him going, ah!
But no, he gets shot down by the biplanes, and then Jack Black's at the bottom and goes, no, it wasn't the planes. It was cocaine that killed Brian Blessed.
Because planes don't kill people. People and drugs kill people.
It was cocaine. It was all that
delicious
ruddy cocaine.
Waste man.
Delicious cocaine.
Waste man.
Waste man.
Yep.
Next one.
Thanks, Alex, for that one. From Marcus Newman, we've got meth. Meth.
All right.
As in meth? Question mark.
Yeah.
Meth. Full stop. Yeah.
Gotcha.
This is about.
this is about meth.
Correct. It's also about two drug cops who, on their training day, sleep through their like drug awareness training. Like, can they identify and like work out what drugs are?
When they are told what drugs are,
like they'll recognize drugs quickly.
Right,
but. Someone else's results are accidentally inputted as their own, so they're
they don't just pass,
they get such like high grades on it that they are put in as
they're
like,
on Vice.
They're on Vice, and they're on like first on the scene identifying what drugs they're involved in.
They're essentially human sniffer dogs.
But these two, it's like a stoner movie. These two like are they're not stoners. They're just completely incompetent and don't know what drugs look like. And in fact, maybe it's the two guys from the IT Crowd, Richard Ayoade and Chris O'Dowd, playing essentially the same characters but as drug cops, and they've never seen a drug before.
100%.
And it's them just trying to guess their way through a large drug like gang conspiracy. Yes.
It's set in the sort of Breaking Bad, New Mexico, Mexican sort of. Cartel standoff kind of vibe. We've actually got like a proper like hardcore Mexican cast for the cartels. Yeah, like Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
Who else is there?
Luis Guzman.
Luis Guzman. Who else is there?
There's a I mean, there's, I mean, I think there's a big plot point about whether or not something is antihistamines or not.
I'm just waiting for the scene where Richard Hardy picks up a crystal of meth and goes and cracks it in their mouth and like chews on it. But as he chews, his chewing just gets faster and faster and faster.
Roy, I found a gobstopper. Danny Trejo is coming for them with guns and a machete. Oh,
and then as they burst through the door with machine guns, like a Quicksilver scene from either X-Men Apocalypse or X-Men Days of Future Past, where everything slows down and he just walks around fixing things. That happens, where all of time slows down because he's chewed on meth.
But then that all happens, and then we cut to him still standing there staring out into nowhere, and Richard Iwadi going like, "What are you doing? Why are you just standing there? We need to run."
Just in a desert somewhere stood. It's a very close-up shot, but you can see endless desert behind him. He's like, that was a lot of meth.
Hello? Hello? Oh.
So, yeah. Sort of buddy cop comedy where the two cops have no idea what drugs are.
Yes. I've never seen a drug.
They're in Florida. Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, the one thing that I remember about crystal meth from school was being told that people were selling crystal meth
school
to children.
They are a drug dealer.
And Pop Rocks.
Oh my.
Like, that was like an awareness thing, was like, you might get Pop Rocks and it might actually be crystal meth.
That's the most expensive prank anyone's ever pulled.
I don't think it's a prank. I think it's for kidnapping children. I think that's the point.
What is kidnapping children?
Still very expensive.
Oh, yeah.
This is a real sign of modern YouTube era where pranks have gone this far.
Hey guys, it's me, Pranks and Paul.
But the point of that story is I really want them to have to do, like, an awareness campaign in a school.
Yes,
drugs.
But they don't understand what they're talking about. They don't know what a drug is. They don't know in what ways these drugs are similar to the sweets that might be given to children.
It's like that Kate McKinnon sketch where she has to improvise a presentation, if you've seen that.
What you're going to need to look out for is there's definitely going to be some kind of container. They're going to be in a container, probably. There's going to be a man or a woman, or
or
non-binary or non-binary. Yep. They're going to be offering you drugs, so
don't do it.
They'll be in a container. They'll be of some sort of consistency, either liquid, solid, or a gas.
The great drugs are bad.
It's just one guy trying to give the fucking presentation and the other one popping up in the background every so often going,
man.
Drugs are bad, you know?
Richard Hardy being like, stop it.
No drugs.
I love how you described, like, the person doing drugs could be any form of person selling anything.
So Chris O'Dowd's at the front making the presentation. Oh. Meanwhile, like, Richard Hardy's had a very clever idea and sits at the back of the room going,
I'm definitely not going to do drug now.
I would never take a single drug.
He's there in a baseball cap. A baseball cap over his big hair. And like, some kind of basketball vest.
I'm thinking baseball cap.
Transfer
like a tweed
tattoos.
Suit.
Transfer tattoos on his arm.
Oh, but can he actually have to try and infiltrate the school just for like a little bit of the film?
Yeah.
I don't care for what reason.
So that he's convincing as a...
Yeah, so he gets the fellow kids to believe that he too is a fellow kid who does not want to take the drugs.
And ironically, it's Steve Buscemi who rumbles him.
But no, he pretends to be a kid to like get kids off drugs, but then because of his unawareness, he gets dealt drugs.
It backfires because of his character.
Good. Yeah,
meth.
I think there's definitely a scene. I think the reason it's called meth is.
There's a scene where they're just holding a bag of Pop Rocks, like, meth?
I just like the idea that they're sat in the middle of a city or they're sat, like, next to a park in Florida, and then just people doing random things, they're just like, meth? Meth.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, they've got Pop Rocks and meth on the same table.
Meth?
Meth? Meth? Meth.
One of them's like, now come on, you know this one! Come on, just point at them. I've labelled them. Point at the math.
Math.
It's J.K. Simmons, just like point at the math.
Math.
Point at the math.
Math.
Oh god. So that was meth. Math. One we've got here from My Waste of Talent is right. He gave us a few. Right.
Okay.
This one stood out above the rest.
Right.
It's okay. Got nothing to do with drugs, really.
Okay.
Which surprised me.
That's our problem,
yeah,
not his.
Yeah, yeah. It's called... Sorry.
It's called, do you need a moment?
A little bit, yeah. It's called... Jeff Goldblum Watches You Sleep.
Okay, so this is a hallucination. Like a hardcore hallucination.
No, but like an in cinema hallucination. Like they
Jeff Goldblum actually shows up to the cinema.
I like the idea that they give you the most calming experience in the cinema to the point where you will fall asleep. I fall asleep in all sorts of shit. I fell asleep in The Force Awakens.
We are very different people.
Like I'm just like it's, I'm in a dark
Matt's
room.
Watched The Force Awakens.
Yes. I'm fallen asleep.
I'm in a dark room and in a reclining comfy chair. I've got to close my eyes sometimes because they hurt. Sometimes they do not open again for another half an hour.
Okay, but what about all the noises?
Don't worry about it.
I'm worried about it.
There won't be any noises in this one apart from like soothing chimes.
And then each person gets gently like rattled awake and you
by Jeff Goldblum.
You look beautiful while you sleep. And then he just gently kisses you on the forehead.
And then he waits for you to fall asleep before doing it to the next
person. It's 4DX. So it's 4DX. So you wake up, you get woken up by your chair individually shaking around. And then Jeff Goldblum on the screen is like, you look beautiful while you sleep. And then he leans in to the screen and goes...
And then it sprays water in your face.
And a little like plungery thing comes out
really
and kisses
slowly,
you on your forehead.
With like a
Jeff Goldblum.
And then the Daleks take over the cinema.
This is better, right? And it'll save the costing on having to hire Jeff Goldblum for every cinema we play this film.
Oh no, 40X I'm sure he'll do it for the fun.
He might, but. Just going back, if he wasn't...
Scroll back a few.
It's a film that hypnotises everyone to sleep.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Like you said. Mm-hmm. And then, you look at the security camera, the projectionist has a feed to the security camera, waits till everyone's asleep, and then changes the reel over to a giant face of Jeff Goldblum.
Yes.
On the screen, looking out at everyone.
What? That's what I just said.
No, I thought you said like, oh, like he comes up to them.
No.
Oh, right.
In my version, in the 40X version, he's on the screen.
Oh, right. He's on. Right. All right. Good. But like,
and then like lips on an arm come out and kiss you on the forehead as Jeff Goldblum tells each individual person.
But is Jeff Goldblum hypnotizing everyone as well?
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah.
You're feeling very sleepy.
Like the demon head.
You're going to sleep now, and I'm going to watch you, okay? Nothing to be worried about. It's just your old pal, Jeff Goldblum.
So to bring this back around to being a drug film, what happens is after you all drift off, it waits just a moment of time for everyone to have drifted off, and then Jeff Goldblum just brings out a bong and just puffs. And it goes away again before he wakes people up to tell them while he sleeps. But if anyone's an insomniac, they know.
I don't think we can improve upon this any further.
No.
I'll be honest.
It's a perfect movie.
It's exactly what everyone wanted.
Seems like the sort of installation you might put in the Millennium Dome.
It seems like the sort of installation
when it first
you might
opened.
Have everywhere. All the time. On
fact,
buses.
Disney does the Star Wars thing, right? They do the Star Wars thing where like Jeff Goldblum watches you sleep has to be in this cinema for the next 6 months.
Yes. It's an experience, is what it is. Yeah.
If you want the next Star Wars and Marvel movies, you have to have Jeff Goldblum watches you sleep.
Yep, it has to be done.
We've decided that Disney as a company has become too reliant on violence and fast-paced things, and we think it's stressing people out. We've decided we need Disney relaxation as well. So Jeff Goldblum's just wearing this Mickey Mouse hat while he's doing all this stuff.
Huffing that sweet bong.
That
juice.
J. That,
I'm calling
that
it bong
good
juice.
Good Jay
suckling on the good good's clouds. Actually, no, I'd imagine that if he's going to take it anyway, he would have just like a very complex looking vape for weed.
Oh yeah, that would be good.
I like the weed. That's what he says.
Like in his best Christopher Walken impression, apparently.
And 40X in 40X, just clouds of stinky vapor come out and just wash over you.
Perfect. But everyone's asleep, so they don't realise, and they come out smelling kind of weird.
Yeah, and then they're like
Jeff Goldblum, like how you'd imagine
like
Jeff Goldblum
weed.
To smell. Yeah.
Weed and Jeff Goldblum's cologne, which he could totally bring out as like a line after this movie. He could bring out a line of cologne, and
it's
everyone's like, "This smells familiar," and I can't think why.
He could bring out a line of cologne and rack it up, and you can sniff it.
Yes, yes. That too.
Sleepwatch by Goldblum.
Me, Jeff Goldblum. That's who I am.
I have no idea who this man is.
Have you ever seen Jurassic Park?
No.
No.
Have you ever seen...
The answer is probably no, I'll be honest.
Jeff Goldblum?
Nope.
Have you seen Thor Ragnarok?
Nope.
No.
Everyone, Jeff Goldblum is everyone's slightly creepy, artsy uncle.
Imagine like a really sexy cat man.
A what?
A really sexy cat man.
What is cat man?
Like a real sort of like he's
just a man with
the
personality
sort of purrs and everything.
I can't imagine.
He's all right with you. It's fine.
Mostly because he keeps coming out as a 13-year-old anime girl. Because that's all that happens in my head when you say cat person.
I'm thinking sort of more Puss in Boots than
I know
kawaii.
Puss in Boots.
Yeah, but it's not actually Puss in Boots, unfortunately.
In that case, I still have no
That's
idea.
Antonio Banderas.
Jeff Goldblum looks like a man who exclusively collects first editions of old literature and vape devices. Only those two things.
Bound in rich mahogany.
I cannot imagine the type of person that would collect only those two things.
Jeff Goldblum.
Hanging out with the wrong people.
So, that's all... Honourable mentions for this week. Maybe you can give us titles any time of the week on facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast and Twitter @ Life's a Pitch Show. You could tweet us there. Yeah, give us those titles wherever. We ask for genres every week, but that shouldn't stop you. You just messages just with a title.
Anytime. Doesn't matter what genre we're doing, doesn't matter what the theme is. Literally any time of the week, you think of an interesting but probably a little bit surreal movie title, we will accept it on our social medias and we'll probably use it in the show.
Hmm.
So go over there, do that. Don't forget, you can go over to soundcloud.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast to find everything we've ever done on under the Life's a Pitch name. There's all sorts of stuff. Joe, you've got a series of episodes over there. Go over there, check out those playlists. And of course, if you can give us a review on iTunes, we would really appreciate it. 5 stars, if you please. We would love that. What? Did nobody like my character? Who,
if you please.
If you please.
Thank you very much. Go forward. Keep going.
I'm sorry.
No, nobody likes it when you do a joke one of like 1 star and then you say it, actually it's brilliant. We like it when you do the 5 star and then you say it was rubbish underneath. You got to do the 5 star first so we get good on the rankings, and then everyone says, well done, clap, clap, you did a good podcast. And that's what we live for. Next, if you really, really like the podcast, you can go over to patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast, where you can chip in just a tiny little bit of money every month to help the podcast get better. We are growing all the time and we are saving it up to, and we always spend the money you give us on the podcast, so it really, really helps. And our patrons so far helping out every single month,
they are Ross_Originals, My Waste of Talent, Brandon Spanky Mills, Joe Hegarty, Brent Black, Darius the Unsettling, and Mihir Trivedi.
Thank you very much for your support, and you, everyone else, you owe those guys a big load of thanks, because they've done making the whole thing a lot better.
Yeah.
So good job, clap clap to them.
Freeloaders, am I right?
Thanks for your support. On with the show.
Sorry.
That was a good bit.
Okay, so before we move on to our final pitch, which is Baked Alaska from Ross_Originals, we've got an award to give out.
Awards!
The Yes, Very Clever award. I'll play the sting.
Yes, very clever.
So this is the award we give out to people who've given us titles that are kind of like a pun. You would say?
Yeah, like they've just taken another film usually and just added funny to it. And the great thing about that is real good, real funny, real clever, right?
Mm.
Can't do a thing with it.
Yeah.
All the jokes been done.
I mean, to be honest, you could do a thing with this one.
It is
pretty golden.
Okay, well, just give it, pass it over. Stop warbling up at the stand there and hand it to the person who's actually won the award.
I will.
Yeah.
And that is James Cannon.
With
his title, Hallucinational Treasure.
Hallucinational treasure. Oh!
Bonus points for Nick Cage.
Yeah, you do get bonus points for Nick Cage.
Yeah.
For insinuating Nick Cage.
Okay. I just got it.
I have a question. What's the original movie title? I have no idea.
National Treasure. So thank you, James Cannon, for that one.
Yeah, thank you, James, for that one. Hallucinational Treasure or Hallucinational Treasure.
Hallucinational Treasure. Yeah,
made me smile when I saw it.
Bonus points for Nick, for invoking Nick Cage.
Summoning Nick Cage.
Such a good warlock class.
Invoke Nick Cage.
So now let's move on to our main drug title from Ross Originals, Baked Alaska.
So I started on this because I was very enthusiastic.
What is a baked Alaska?
Okay, so ice cream, surrounded by meringue. You're meant to put it in the oven and cook it in such a way that you cook the meringue but not the ice cream, which is impossible, so everyone just blowtorches it. And...
just like the idea that this was a prank by someone who made a cookbook. Like, you're supposed to put it in the oven in such a way.
I mean, this is from the times where people made jelly with mayonnaise and put shrimp and salmon on top of it and called it high culture.
Yucky do.
White people. Am I right?
And people say there's no such thing as white culture. Putting jelly. Mayonnaise in jelly with shrimp and calling it food.
It was from that era of food, though, I think. So
the 70s, like that sort of disgusting, yes. Disgusting, decrepit era.
Yeah, the dinner party era, as when, it shall henceforth be known.
When everyone put all those avocado baths into the houses.
Yes, that time. That's what we're talking about.
So, avocado bath.
Yeah, like avocado coloured bathroom
decor.
Yeah,
you know that,
yes.
That shitty green.
Yeah, yeah.
That literally looks like someone vomited all over. Yeah.
Oh yeah, mm. I know the green.
Mm.
So baked Alaska
with weed in it.
We come back to that because this is a sequel.
Oh,
is it?
To the other lesser known film Alaska, which I'm fairly sure. Is about kids trying to save a polar bear running away from a hunter across Alaska.
I'm pretty sure what you were going
to
say was
to counter pitch.
The film Alaska, which I'm pretty sure exists.
Anyway, the film doesn't matter because it's watched by two stoners eating weed Alaska, like weed baked Alaska.
Yes,
and they
from their 70s cookbook.
Yeah. And they're eating Alaska while watching Alaska. And they go, we should remake this film.
We should do a podcast where we pitch
this film.
So they say we're going to remake this film, but they are going to be high the entire time.
Okay.
And it's the process of them trying to put it together, finding a polar bear, like they steal one from a zoo.
Like the Disaster Artist.
Yeah, but with, like, a lot less meaning.
Kind of like Disaster Artist meets Be Kind Rewind.
Meets,
weed.
Meets weed.
Just meets Seth Rogen.
Yeah. Oh, Seth Rogen's definitely in it.
Oh, no.
Some point, yeah.
As the polar bear.
Okay, what if, like, going on this sort of, like, 70s cookbook sort of thing, these two guys get kicked out of... Or one guy gets kicked out of chef school, and his friend, played by Brie Larson, is it's got to be something that's they both need to flunk out of something, right? But they both flunked out of opposite sort of stuff.
Same college, film school, and catering departments.
Right. And they go back to their house. I want to say, like, Brie Larson's parents, like, have, like, died and left her she only lived with her mum, and they've left her, like, the whole house. And they're going back through this house and searching through all these things, and they find this cookbook, and they're both, like, morose. Like, Brie Larson's parents died a little while ago, but that's why she flunked out of film school. I want to say Paul Rudd, who's totally a different age.
I know, super older.
Okay, give me someone of comparable age.
Donald Glover.
Donald Glover, good idea.
Good Zac Efron again.
Donald Glover was in catering school, flunked out similarly, but like only because he was just like on the J too much. He was smoking too much dank weed.
That's weed, okay.
Yeah, I was like, what?
On his friend called Jay.
I'm confused. Is he too gay for college?
Now that's a good title.
Too gay for
college. Or just enough gay for Jay.
That one, I like that one better.
They find this cookbook and it has a recipe for baked Alaska, and they can't fucking figure it out because it says put it in an oven in such a way as only the meringue cooks but not the ice cream. And they're just like getting stoned trying to figure this fucker out. And then they realise that like there's a film in this. And I do not know where I go from here. I just like the idea that there's this magic like book that is going to teach them how to cook baked Alaska while they're spending time in this house. And I think we have a rotating cast of characters all coming in trying to help them.
Okay.
Telling vignettes.
It's one of those films that stays in the same location.
Yeah.
Is it just in Donald Glover's apartment?
It's Brie Larson's parents' house.
Okay, I still have a counter pitch.
Okay, good for it.
I have this beautiful idea of... Okay, so there's some kind of murder mystery-esque house party happening.
Okay.
Probably also 70s style, just for like the wacky clothes and other thematic shit. But the entire thing... It starts with a woman making a baked Alaska, putting it on the table, and the camera comes down to the baked Alaska's level, and the rest of the movie is a murder mystery happening, foregrounded with a baked Alaska, and the camera never moves at any point.
I have a question,
yes.
Which is, where do the drugs come in?
We
so what Alaska. If these fit together? What okay. if they have a party okay. and by the morning, hangover style, nobody knows who did the murder or who baked the Alaska successfully?
Yes. Oh, it could act like that could be their film camera that they've been trying to film on, and they put it down at some point.
Yeah,
everything else happens, and they have not caught any of it.
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure shit out.
Okay, yes, this happens, but it's not their original motivation. They don't realise there's a dead body in the house for a long part of the film. They realise that they had a baked Alaska last night, and Donald Glover's character is like, I've been trying to work it out for ages, and
that's
apparently...
That's why he failed. Yeah, he couldn't get the baked Alaska right.
And he's like, oh, and apparently I got so stoned that I worked it out.
Yeah.
And the only way I can work it out is to try and overhear the conversation in this film. So they're like pouring... through it bit by bit, this film of just a baked Alaska with the voices in the background.
Frame by frame.
Well, no, like listening to all the audio carefully.
And then they realise that someone is dead somewhere in there.
And the mystery, like, they arrest the guy very soon after finding that out, but then they have to find the body. The mystery is not finding out who did it, it's finding the actual corpse.
And you know where that corpse is, right?
I don't know where it is.
In the converted freezer oven.
Oh no, I thought you were going to say in the baked Alaska. In the meringue of the baked Alaska.
They blitzed them.
Yeah.
They find out...
And that's how you can bake a baked Alaska.
Bake-a-laka.
Bake-a-laka-laka. But with
human bones to shield the ice cream.
So they find the body, but it's been completely deboned.
I think it's the word.
Oh my god! Okay, this book is a bit mysterious, right?
Yeah.
And the reason it's a bit mysterious is because you don't cook with these recipes; they're rituals.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
That's like kind of like Jumanji or something like that.
Yeah.
Like it's a book that writes itself. Purely for chaos.
And Brie Larson's finding stuff out about her family, like that they were like making sacrifices and stuff. There's more than one body in this house.
Find all of the bodies.
This is like Cabin in the Woods level of like twist on top of twist on top of twist.
There's catacombs beneath the house dug out for.
Can they find a skeleton underneath Brie Larson's bed? And they spend ages like, this is another body. And then they realise that it is the skeleton from the dude who had his skeleton taken.
Just missing
and they're like, no, there's more bodies.
So a lot of this, like a lot of the film, you're trying to work out if they've got like weed paranoia, because they're still smoking weed through the whole thing, or how much is real. So yeah, it's the skeleton, like some of the bones are missing from this skeleton, because that's what
Naturally.
They use in the baked Alaska.
Of course.
But then they're freaking out thinking there's multiple bodies, and then you start to get the sense that they're just being paranoid until they're like panicking, and one of them realises, oh, we've just been paranoid, we're on the weed. They lean on a mantelpiece and a catacomb opens.
And down there is... Steve Buscemi. Brie Larson's dad, who she hasn't seen in 20 years. She thought was dead.
Perfectly preserved.
Absolutely. Oh, he's still alive.
He's still alive.
Kind of. Through some dark ritual, he's still like a shambling us.
Steve Buscemi, the lich.
Steve Buscemi, weed lich.
Yeah.
But he's got a chef's hat on. He's got a chef's hat on, and instead of a, like, he's got a large scythe, but instead of the scythe blade, it's like a butcher's knife.
And he just has all of his rituals.
He has this large, like, gas mask on that just pumps marijuana into his lungs.
Wow.
So where's this going?
I don't know.
We've got the premise.
It's gone.
It has to end in a similar way to Cabin in the Woods, as in, like, it's just, they get to the point where you've revealed the entire world, and then a big apocalyptic event happens, and that's just the suggested end.
I think we try and do a Cabin in the Woods, in that we try, instead of horror tropes, we try to focus on, like, drug movie tropes to make the audience think that this is a drug movie, like, directed by Seth Rogen. And then, like, it gets weirder and weirder and weirder and weirder.
So these rituals, similar to Cabin in the Woods being based on horror tropes have to happen for this ritual to happen, these rituals are, like, the characters within these rituals that have happened across the world all have to intoxicate their victims to get them to a pliable manner to be able to do these very specific things before they can be sacrificed.
Yes.
Like Baker Bakes Alaska.
I have got the apocalyptic event.
Okay.
You probably know where this is going when I say where this is set.
you know that Alaska's getting baked, right?
These ancient ones are planning to cook Alaska the steaks.
To feed the beast lying beneath Alaska.
A modified offer. They're planning on, like, dousing Alaska in marijuana to die a slow, dopey death.
I think both are
at the same time.
I think dousing it in marijuana is the thing that will wake up the beast that lies below below Alaska.
There's a cause and effect thing going on there with
that. Hotboxing a state.
If Canada is America's hat, Alaska is America's gaping maw. And
okay.
Where do you think a maw is? Because it's not on top of someone's hat.
It is. It goes out the top.
Yeah, no, you're right. That works.
He's not.
I'm sure.
I'm not going to fight them on this.
I get
that's how we
Alaska
get, yeah.
is separated from the rest of the US. But
and apparently above Canada, which I didn't know.
Yeah.
Despite having a good grade at A-level in geography, do not know a lot of actual geography.
To be honest, I'd forgotten until Joe pointed it out.
I never knew. That's the difference between us.
Yeah, so Canada is not America's hat. Canada is like America's shawl as America goes for a drive in the open-top car. And the more...
What is this metaphor?
Alaska's like a mouth out the front.
So Alaska is being threatened with just being doused in weed to awaken an ancient one that will eat every single member as an edible, as a weed edible, because the ancient one is also a weed addict.
And played by Seth Rogen.
Giant Seth Rogen.
For some reason, it has to be like a consensual eating, which is why everyone needs to be fucking baked. So that when the giant ancient one comes and says, "Hop into my mouth, small humans," they all go, "Fucking sick, dude."
They figured out that, in the demonic pact, in the laws, consent. Yeah. Consenting to eating is you can skirt around those laws because they're evil and demonic by just people being like shrug, you know, like so.
It's like, by whatever. Using actual American laws, you can skirt around your shit.
Evil and demonic, like I said.
Yeah, exactly. It's really a beautiful thought piece on America.
I mean, I think we're trying to one up Cabin in the Woods here by having social commentary as well as the
commentary. I think we already won Cabin in the Woods.
I can imagine the Guardian article now saying, I thought of Donald Trump the moment I heard Seth Rogen say, please jump into my gaping mouth.
And what an article it would be. And so many people would be typing in the comment section, fucking SJW cucks.
This film is not political.
SJW cucks.
This film is not political. This is a film about stoner giant Seth Rogen eating every citizen of Alaska. Keep your politics away from my films.
SJW cooks. Yeah, it's great.
Seth Rogen sweating. Sweaty Seth Rogen giant.
I'm just imagining the ground opening and you just hearing.
That's an uncomfortable sounding laugh.
He has an uncomfortable sounding laugh.
I've not actually heard him do it. Oh. It just sounds uncomfortable.
I don't think he has a laugh like that. I think it's the laugh that everyone imagines he has.
I think his laughs more like.
All of these Jimmy laughs Carr. Sound yeah. identical to me. I'm gonna be real.
So yeah, that's Baked Alaska.
Baked Alaska.
How do they sort of Stop. Get out of that one?
They don't.
Oh, it's a sort of like Cloverfield business.
Well, Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah. Oh, they don't. Yeah. They just.
The world I mean, ends. It wouldn't be a good social commentary if they get out of it alive.
True.
Especially not for America.
Yeah.
There were, so just, yeah. It ends with a very quick panning shot of just them zooming down the gullet, Seth Rogen. A large, topless, sweaty Seth Rogen.
who's covered in earth as well, because he just pulled himself out of Alaska.
Earthen magma on his back.
Okay, but what if it wasn't quick? What if it was an actual, like, camera down the throat?
Like, slowly forcing its way down.
It doesn't pan to black at any point. It literally, like, the last 10 minutes of the movie, are you watching a camera forced down Seth Rogen's mouth?
You can feel in the way the camera goes the resistance.
and we actually did this but to shoot it. Like
yeah, exactly.
It's like Star Wars using the miniatures. We have to get actual Seth Rogen and actually put a camera down his actual mouth.
For all the cast that he's already eaten, he has swallowed little tiny miniatures of those cast members.
They're like little Sabutio things.
That is not small enough.
Yeah, and he's been
It is
small.
For Seth Rogen.
Big swallow man.
He's the wide gulleted man.
How did I know this episode was going to end with a camera being shoved down Seph Rogen's mouth?
How did you know
did
that?
Did you know that? Did you write it down?
I got a feeling Seph Rogen and mouth was going to end this episode.
Yeah. You should start writing these predictions down, selling them to gullible people. I feel like we didn't have. Did we have any happy endings here?
Yep.
Did we?
No.
I feel like Seth Rogen was pretty happy at the end.
Seth Rogen's happiness is not everyone's happiness.
But it could be.
Just Banksy thoughts.
Hashtag just Banksy thoughts.
Okay, so that was Baked Alaska.
Yeah.
Apocalyptic.
It was something.
Yeah.
It was definitely an idea.
The real movie was the friends we made along the way. Yeah.
Seth Rogen is definitely dressed as a giant baby, isn't he, in that movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's definitely wearing a nappy.
He's wearing a nappy, but it's underneath his baby romper.
A big romper. That's even better. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, get little duckies on it.
Yeah.
And he's sweat. I don't know why he has to be sweaty.
He has to be very sweaty.
Now you've imagined it. You can't get it away.
And he's got
the poppers are done up.
And he's got a waxed head as well. Waxed head and face. So he's got no hair on his body at all.
Oh, so he's really baby-like.
Yeah, seriously.
No eyebrows.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a baby who didn't grow eyebrows.
A lot of babies are not born with eyebrows, and it's fucking creepy.
You know what? A lot of babies are born,
sad,
right? And
angry,
it's fucking creepy.
A lot of babies are creepy. I don't like babies.
But it's Seth Rogen's head on a baby.
Yes.
That's what we do.
But we're CGIing it over his actual body with the liquefy tool in Photoshop.
No, I've got to disagree. I've got to disagree because I will not pass up the opportunity to get Seth Rogen to wear a nappy, a baby romper, and wax his head and face.
Yeah, and that's why we're just using the liquify tool and making his body baby.
I want to go home, but
you
beard.
You are home.
This is you forever.
His beard.
Let me go home.
His beard's got a lot of food in and stuff.
He hasn't got a beard. He's all waxed.
He's all waxed. Apart just from his beard.
What do you think, Joe? Is he all waxed or has he got a beard with food in it?
I think he could just have like little bits of sweets pasted to his face with actual glue.
This is revenge for every time I've derailed a film.
Joe, has he got waxed face? Has he got a beard with food in it? Or has he got little sweets pasted to his face? Which one is it?
You have to answer the question before you can go home.
He has the face of Willem Dafoe.
That is not, as it is very importantly stated, the waxed face of Seth Rogen.
All right, I think we are ready to end the show. So, thank you all for listening. Guys, where can we find your things on the internet? Where can we find the hearing of you and the seeing of your comedy stylings?
Wow. So there's all of the Strike stuff, which I don't know how to plug because I've never plugged it before.
So predominantly you want to go to the Strike podcast.
Yes.
That's probably the best place to hear us.
SoundCloud?
Yes, which you can find through the Strike Facebook.
That's S-T-U umlaut, R-I-K-E. Yeah.
If you do not have an umlaut on your computer, or in fact, because it's not actually on our Facebook URL, because it's an umlaut and none of our keyboards have that, it's just a U, so...
Yeah. S-T-U-R-I-K-E.
You will find us there on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
Yes. And I have a personal art... endeavor that I don't know if it is worth plugging.
Yeah, go for it. It's great stuff.
It is Space Pigu Art with no spaces, and Pigu is spelled P-I-G-G-U, since I've been asked that before. And that is on most platforms. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube are most of them. I think Tumblr is also in
most
there.
Most of the platforms.
Most of the platforms. Just
yeah,
get some of them.
But that's a thing, so...
If you're in Sheffield as well, you should check out A Mind Apart and their work with improv. I have just begun my first 8-week improv course. We're doing an intro to improv. That's underway, but we've got loads of stuff coming, sort of spring through to summertime, like day workshops and one-off things, and probably another beginner's course further down the line. So you should follow A Mind Apart on Facebook to find out more about what we're going to be doing with that.
Excellent.
Nice.
It's nice to have guests on who have things to plug.
Yeah.
you can plug all of your... Wait, did you already do that? You already did that.
We're doing it again.
We're just going to do it again. Go over to the Patreon. You heard about that. Go over to iTunes. Give us 5-star reviews. Go over to Twitter at Life's Pitch Show. Go over to Facebook. Facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast and Instagram at Life's a Pitch Show. Also, thank you for listening, thank you for supporting us, and we appreciate it generally. Until you are eaten by the stoned, ritualized Seth Rogen, brought to you by your lich parents, Steve Buscemi. I've been Matt Turner.
I've been Tom McGrath.
I've been Joe Thompson.
I've been Vicky Yellowlees.
Thanks for listening. Remember who pitched it.
Bye!
Bye.